Yeah, y'all have to have me, boy. That's for sure. Hallelujah. But there's the Lord knew me. He knew what I had need of. He had me in mind. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. So I just make my noise unto him, and it's joyful. Hallelujah. So I'm glad he included me in the book. Listen, this morning I want to start a series because of the content of what I have, and I believe the value that it will be to us as believers. I want to intentionally do something that I believe that we have been doing to a degree all along. I want to admonish those of you, our young people, to also adhere to what you're going to hear today as well. What I'm going to talk about is by far one of the most valuable commodities that I believe that we have as believers once we begin to walk in the things of God. It is something that people don't discuss, but they take for granted. And I don't mean take for granted necessarily in a bad way. We assume that everybody knows how to do this. So now, I'm going to start the series today, so I'm not going to try to finish all of this, but I do have a point that I want to get to that we can begin to build upon as we move forward. I don't have all of the other components that we're going to put together, but I feel like the Lord's going to share that as we move forward, so that's not a problem. But today, I want to start a series called Hearing and Recognizing the Voice of God. Hearing and recognizing the voice of God. Now, this would be wonderful for you to learn while you're young, and it'd be wonderful for you to learn while you're old. Because whether you're young or old, you need to hear and recognize the voice of God. So, with that being said, my first title in the series of Hearing and Recognizing the Voice of God, I'm going to entitle this Voice Recognition. Voice Recognition. When I was a young boy, and I know things are different now, but I was growing up north when I had moved up with my parents there and living in Michigan. We would be out and out playing, you know, like here we played marbles and all of this other stuff, like, you know, like a lot of other kids. But the community was a degree of safety in the sense that other people watched your kids. I mean, we had this lady across the street named Miss Fanny. Miss Fanny watched. She would tell your mom and dad everything you did. She seen you when you didn't know Miss Fanny seen you. So we'd be outside playing and all of that. And she said, yeah. I do not now. Your mama and them told you go down to that corner and you go down to that corner over there. And I seen how you just sitting on that curb and you didn't go no further than what you done good today. Miss Fanny saw all that. Miss Fanny was NSA when we didn't know what NSA was. She knew how to tap into your communication. I know what y'all little boys was talking about over there. She knew Miss Fanny could do all of that. But beyond Miss Fanny, We you know, you find a way to be behind somebody's house. You know, we had alleys up north. That's one of the things you don't see down here in the south for the most part. We had alleys. Now, an alley, I found out folks don't even know what alleys are down here. An alley, you got to see, up north, you got the street, your house, and then behind your house it's like a little street. For lack of a better way of saying it, and that street, you could go down that alley and it would take you to the back of your house. So you had that street that you get front access to your house, and you had the alley that you get back access to your house. Well, we knew how to walk to school and that kind of stuff. And you cut through the alleys and folks' yards. You know, we done that kind of stuff, you know. Come across the businesses, you know. So we went as the crow flies to go to school. So we made it as straight as possible. It wasn't no take this block and all. We didn't do all of that. So anyway, I'd be outside and I would be playing. And I had Miss Fanny, you know, and she was doing, you know, what she did. But there would be times where we're in those back alleys and not necessarily doing nothing wrong, but we're just back there playing or whatever. And, you know, your mama would say stuff like, be home when the street light come on. Our street light used to flicker a little bit for right before it, you know, it wouldn't come bam. It was like, you didn't want it to be full blown on and you still watching it and you not home. But then it would be something we'd be around and we'd be playing. I mean, engaged in that serious marbles game. Now I had some marbles. And boy, I used to go out and I'd win the marbles off other folks and I was collecting them. James, my bag was getting bigger and bigger. I'd be involved in one of the marble games. And then all of a sudden, I hear a voice. It was a voice like nobody else's voice. And you know, your mama could call. See, I don't know how y'all parents done y'all, but my mama would say, she would have this thing. She would say, Daryl. But then she would say, Daryl Wayne. Now, when your mama start calling your whole name, I mean, your legal birth name. Something is different about being called your legal birth name by your mama. But in the midst of us playing, the voice would call my name. Now, it's a whole lot of voices out there. But for some reason, I had the ability in voice recognition to understand whose voice was calling me. The others I could immediately ignore. It's just some of the guys that we playing marbles with, you know, calling my name, trying to distract me. They don't want me to win their marble. But when my mama called, all of a sudden, my bag of marbles no longer had the value that they did, because no need getting a beat down. And you still can't get your marbles. So I believe God was teaching not just me, but all of us voice recognition. So that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. Go to, and I just want you to bear with me. Because like I said, we're going to open up with this today. John chapter 10, verse 1. From the King James. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. You know, I do want to say something in the midst of this. Jesus know your name. You know, this is just observation. Do you know when God talked to me, he never say superintendent. Watch this. He don't say pastor. I'm just, you know, I know some people trip over those things now. But isn't it amazing when God talks to you, he don't use all of those accolades, if you will. All of those titles that we attribute to people. Wonder about that. Verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So sheep hear his voice, and sheep know his voice. Verse 5, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I believe voice recognition is very important. I want to share something with you. It was a meditation, and this thought came to me. Our fallen nature will always avoid the voice of God. Listen to me. Our fallen nature will always avoid the voice of God. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, if we go back to Genesis chapter 3, we find Adam and Eve having heard the voice of God walking in the garden. They hide themselves and they say, we hid ourselves because we were naked. So now here's a fallen nature avoiding the voice that they once communicated with. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, we find Moses speaking with the people, and he tells them, he reminds them of their response when God showed up on the mountain. The mountain that was on fire, and God spoke from the mountain. And they said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. We can't handle this voice that we're hearing. Do you realize God is talking to all of the people from the mountain? Not just Moses, but everybody. Everybody in the entire camp of the Israelites are hearing the audible voice of God. They said, whoa, we can't handle this. He said, Moses, I tell you what, you go ahead, you find out whatever God said, and you come back and we're going to do this. Why? Because the fallen nature of man always will avoid the voice of God. We're going to walk through this, you all. Let me give you three biblical reasons why I believe voice recognition is so important. Reason number one, because of false doctrines. Because of false doctrines. The Bible says in Matthew 5 and 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. What do you mean? In some places, religious rituals have replaced the relationship with God. They are more concerned with what you wear. They're more concerned with how you look. They're more concerned with what things you do than you having a relationship with God. They're teaching the commandments of men versus actually having a relationship with God. It's false doctrine. It looks religious. It looks pious. It looks sanctimonious, if you will, but it's just the doctrines of men. And if you don't have voice recognition, I'm going to walk it slow today. 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, let me stop for a second. You are living in this time. For years, we have read this and acted as though it pertained to another generation. If you can't see that you're living in the latter times now, I don't know what it's going to take to show you that. When folk can't figure out what bathroom to go to now, are you serious? As long as man has been on the planet, we knew what bathroom to go to. I mean, that is, you know what? That was like breathing. You didn't even think about it. Now, folks, you have to go to the Supreme Court to decide what bathroom to go to. This has got to be the last time. He says, some shall depart from the faith. Look around you. Think about the ones that you have seen that started off with you in the faith. Where are they now? Why? They're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There are doctrines that are being taught that originate from demons. And you need voice recognition to know. Do you realize every year millions of people make a pilgrimage to Mecca? Do you know that that is a doctrine of demons? It's true. But wait a minute, before you think I'm just picking on them, any doctrine that's not of God. So you can plug whatever in there. Number two, not only because of we need voice recognition because of false doctrine, we need voice recognition because of false people. All right, Mark chapter 13, verse 22. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Listen to this. There are actually people who claim to be Christ, and they're going to lead other people into destruction. There's a guy down in Miami. He's claimed to be Christ. He's got millionaires in his services. The services are packed out with people. And he's telling everybody he's Jesus. Folks moving from one part of the country to another part, to where he's at, so that they could come to his services. Why? They're false, and they're leading people to destruction. And if you don't have voice recognition, see, you sit up here and I'm telling you this, and you go like, how in the world they don't have voice recognition? Simple as that. 2 Corinthians 3 and 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Are you aware that there are people who actually work for the enemy who have been transformed to look like ministers of righteousness? See, it's time for us to grow up and understand what's happening. If I told you, watch this. If I told you that Russia had sleeper cells in the United States, you can understand that. It'd be like, yeah, they probably do something. Well, why don't you understand that the enemy tries to put sleeper cells in the church? They look like ministers of righteousness. And if you're not careful, they whisper in your ear and they lead you to destruction, because you must have a voice of, you must have voice recognition. 2 Corinthians 11 and 26, the apostle says, and in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Some of the stuff you're dealing with is because people are false. Let me see if I could say it in a way that you can understand it. There are false brethren who had false conversions. Paul said, I was in trouble with these kind of people. They wasn't even real. They weren't real saints. First John 2 and 18. I'm just talking about reasons why we need voice recognition. 1 John 2 and 18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. Let me share something with you. Do you realize the scripture says many Antichrists, not one? Everybody's seemingly preparing for the Antichrist. But do you realize that there are many Antichrists? The word Antichrist doesn't mean against Christ. It means in place of. In other words, these are a substitute for Christ. So how many things are people substituting for Jesus Christ? Now you see what Antichrist look like. He says, little children, this is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. One of the reasons you know it's the last time, you've got so many substitutes for Jesus. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. But it what? So John is saying, listen, they were once with us. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I'm just reading the book. It's time for us to grow up enough and recognize what is God saying. This stuff is not new, you all. He wrote about it beforehand. He wrote it so when it happened, we would understand it and know what to do. And I'm going to stop acting like it's not in the book. You can stick your head in the sand like an ostrich if you want to and act like, well, I don't know. And this explains a whole lot of mess that you see in the church. First John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Many. Not one, not two, not a few, but many. Many. How you know, the number one, you see somebody and they say they're a prophet. And they know by, and why are you not attached to any local church? Shouldn't something immediately just go, so where's their accountability at? I mean, that stuff should disturb you. You don't want to hear no word from them. Don't receive anything. I don't care if they tell you you're going to be a millionaire. I don't receive it. You the wrong one. If God wants you to be a millionaire, he'll send you somebody godly enough to let you know that. But not this person. Number three, not only are we talking about false people, and not only, I want you to understand these things. Because if we can understand that there's false doctrine, there's false people, it gives us a better foothold on what's happening around us that we can understand, well, God, why is this? Why? Some stuff is just wrong. Lastly, because of this, because of seducing spirits. Now, before I even get into this, most of us look at seducing spirits and we automatically think of sexual things. Before you go there mentally, let me share this with you. A spirit has no flesh. So if it's a seducing spirit, it's actually describing to you what the spirit does, not physically what it is, because it's not physical. It's not a woman and it's not a man. It's a seducing spirit. Now I'm going to change your perception here just a little bit. And I'm just, I'm closing out on these three here so we could go into the other part. Proverbs 14:12. Here's the goal of a seducing spirit. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The seducing spirit is designed to get you off the right path. It's to seduce you, to pull you from what was right, to put you on another path that looks right, but the end of that path is going to be your destruction. That's why we need voice recognition. First Timothy 4:1 again. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Notice they departed from the faith. They were once in the faith, but all of a sudden a seducing spirit got them off. That word seducing, it implies an impostor or a deceiver. See, voice recognition, I never had to wonder, was that, see, when I heard my mama's voice, I knew the voice. I can trust that voice. It wasn't an imposter or deceiver trying to get me off the right path. All right, let's go into some text here for us to begin to build upon in voice recognition. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we'll start our text from there. 1 Samuel 3 and 1. First Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. A better word than precious is rare. The word of the Lord in those days was rare. You weren't getting visions. You weren't getting dreams. God wasn't speaking to everybody. It wasn't a Here's a better way of putting it. There was no public place for the people of Israel to go and get a word from God. It was not happening. And that's the kind, if you look prior to this, this is the subject matter that we've been reading and finding out what's been going on. This is Eli having his sons who are profane, who are sleeping with the women before the altar, who are stealing the offering when they're bringing it in, making people hate bringing an offering unto the Lord. This is the kind of atmosphere that Israel is going through, and the word of God is rare. Let me just step back for a second. I believe in the position that we are in now, there's so much stuff happening amongst the church, amongst the people of God. Things are really rare on what God is saying. Folks are prophesying out of their own spirit. Everybody's getting a house and everybody's getting a car. God ain't saying nothing about sin. He ain't calling nothing out about what you was doing last night. You mean to tell me God ain't concerned no more? You mean to tell me that God don't care about stuff that people are thinking about doing, that people are actually doing the Saturday night before the Sunday morning? Oh, I'm going to show you something here in a second. We just warming up. The Bible says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Listen to this, beloved. You can be involved in levels of ministry and not yet know God's voice or his leading. I'm going to say it again. You can be involved in levels of ministry and not yet know God's voice or his leading. Samuel was ministering. He ministered before the Lord. He ministered unto the Lord and before Eli. He was a young child. He was ministering in the temple. You could be involved in levels of ministry and not know the voice of God or the leading of God. And let me just share this on top of that. Nothing will ever reveal that like a good crisis. Folks look the part until something break out. They look like they got it going on, or were they been in? I mean, when you find it out that people have been in church 20 and 30 years, and all of a sudden they decide, you know what? I'm not saved. I'm glad they were honest enough. Saints, listen, I need you to really hear what I'm saying. There are people who are not, listen, they are ashamed to admit this. I said that this is something we don't talk about in church. We don't talk about, can you hear from God? We say, just say this prayer and you're going to be all right. But can you hear from God? And watch this. Your life depends on it. Men, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you this publicly. If, for those of you all who are looking to get married, you're single now, those of you all that are married, if you ever get to the point that you can prove that you can hear from God, you won't have a problem with your wife following you. Being honest. If you can ever get to the point where you can prove that you can hear from God, you will not have a problem with your wife following you. And here's the setup. I teach this in the encounters. Men, just don't be an idiot. God is going to set you up where you will hear from him so that your wife can follow you. If you don't, be an idiot. Because the right order is you submit to Christ, your wife is submitted to you. It's the right order. Just don't be an idiot. I'm the man. She didn't know that. You got a greater problem. You have to learn. The important thing is you hearing from God. I remember when my wife and I first got married. I did not grow up in church, didn't know all of this other kind of stuff. And I remember, like I said, I got saved and I start reading the Word of God. Now, we're going to get into some stuff. I just can't do it all the day. I read the Bible in 6 months. I thought everybody was doing that. When you go to Barnes and Nobles or to the library and you check out a book, you sit down and you read the whole book. You know we've been taught to read the Bible the wrong way. We take scriptures. Let me see you go get your textbook and take passages out of it and pass the test. It was written as a read the whole context of what God is saying. Anyway, I remember, I don't know what we were going through. My wife and I was dealing with something. We dealt with so much. Hallelujah. And the Lord gave me this one word. It shall be well. Amen. And I remember telling my wife, it shall be well. She was like, it shall be well. Like, is that, she was like, is that even in the Bible? You know. You want to chew me up, spit me out now. Best little thing I come up with, Doug, is it shall be well. That's all I got. I can't give you nothing else. That's all I got. But sure enough, God brought that thing around. And what we were dealing with, it became well. And when I looked and see that all of a sudden, I didn't realize it was in the book because I had read the book. And see, we highlight the scripture we like. God highlight what he wants you to know. Oh, come on now. You know, we get our little marker. Oh, I like that one right there. Because you see that as beneficial to you. It shall be well was not the one I was highlighting. But then I remember looking back, and I believe it was when the woman who had the son that had died and she had the servant to saddle her donkey, and she was on her way to see the man of God. She said, it shall be well. It shall be well. So in our situation, God allowed me to know it shall be well. If you are not an idiot, God will position you to hear from him because he knows your entire family needs to follow what he's saying through you. Don't be an idiot. I could go into more of what that means in being an idiot, but I don't have time for all of that right now. Maybe, and we're going to do some encounters and we're going to get back started here. I'm serious. I'm believing God that we can get free, get ourselves in a position where we can begin to minister again in that capacity. It's needed. And plus, even when it's not the encounters, when we do these shut-ins and some things, I'm serious. There's some things I want to teach, I want us to get into, because it's time that we grow up. Ladies, God didn't mean for y'all to bear all the burden like y'all bearing now. You got some sisters. I look at some of these women when we stop at the stoplight. I look over and I go like, why they look so mean? I mean, they just look, you. They look like you at the drag strip and the lay waiting on the right, the light to turn green so they could just flow it. I said, well, why? But see, you got to realize they're carrying so much stress. They got babies at home. Some of them are babies. Some of them are old babies. Men that don't know how to take their rightful roles. So the woman is trying to be mama. She's trying to be daddy. She's trying. You. They feeling like I got to raise the kids and you. Oh, y'all know it's the truth. They looking all vicious, and you know, you don't want to say nothing to them because hey, I'm just sorry your skirt was hanging out the door. I was just going to tell you to open it, you know, that's all. But it's just the pressure that folks are under. Taking our rightful roles, you won't have this kind of pressure. Let me get back to my text here. I'm only on verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Huh. Mm-mm-mm. You know, I was reading, and this one author said this, because I want you to understand something. There are people who have titles and positions and rank in church, but they cannot hear from God. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm not here to beat anybody down. I'm here to tell us, let's really understand what's happening. You don't know this until a crisis comes. Crisis is coming. Now, I was reading this one author said this. False prophets will lead you into battle and watch you die. And it made me really stop and think. They will lead you into battle and watch you die. And he was making a reference from Jehoshaphat, when Jehoshaphat and Ahab were getting together, and Ahab had all of these prophets, and they were all telling him how you're going to get the victory, it's going to be wonderful, it's going to be great. And Jehoshaphat said, wait a minute, is there not at least, you know, you got one man of God here? He said, yeah, I got this one, but I hate him. He don't ever speak nothing good. And he said, well, you know, can you get him? So they went and got him. The guy going to get him, before he brings him back, he said, now listen, everybody else don't say something good. Don't you come in there and mess it up. He said, I'm going to only say what God says. So now how are you going to preface, before you prepping me before I get there on what I should say that God is saying? But all of those false prophets were willing to lead their king into battle and watch him die. People have individuals that they're following who will lead them in battle and watch them die. Y'all bear with me here. It was verse 1, huh? We getting there. We making some progress. Verse 2. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. Let's look at this. First off, Eli was almost blind. So why is there no successor in place? The priest is nearly blind, and his responsibility is to care for the temple. Why is no successor in place? His sons are out sleeping with the women, stealing the offering. Why is no successor in place? Look at this. So while his son, not think, Eli is an older man. Why is his sons not there caring for their father? Eli's sons were busy profaning worship while Samuel the boy was protecting the temple. According to the scripture, Samuel slept in the temple, meaning his life was committed to caring for the things of God. The Bible says in verse 4 that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." Verse 5, "And he ran unto Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou callest me.' And he said, 'I call not, lie down again.' And he went and lay down." Look at the response time of Samuel to what he thought was the voice of Eli. I want to make sure you catch this, because when I turn, you're going to need to be there with me in the turn. Eli is asleep. Samuel is asleep. God shows up and calls Samuel. Samuel wakes up and runs immediately in there. "Here I am. You call me." Look at his response time to his half-blind mentor. I'm going somewhere. I really am. Verse 6. "And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I call not, my son. Lie down again.'" Notice now, I didn't call you, my son. Look at the dear, enduring affection that Eli speaks back to Samuel with. It is not a grudging service that Samuel is doing in the temple. It is a father-son relationship that is developed in the temple. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." I'm turning now. Listen to this. How often has God broken our sleep pattern and we shrugged it off as no big deal because we do not know the voice of God? Come on, believer, talk to me. How often has God broken into your sleep? I feel the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you. How often has he broken into your sleep, but you shrugged it off because you did not know his voice? Must have just been a dream. Whew, I'm tired. Sometimes we have the aptitude to say, "Oh Lord, please, not now." How long? Because we did not know his voice. His voice. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. God's speaking. He's talking. The problem wasn't God being able to talk or God not speaking. It was the hearing. It was knowing his voice. Guess what's happening right now in the body of Christ? It is not a problem with God speaking. It's knowing his voice. If you're waiting on God to speak to you when it's comfortable or convenient for you, how many times are you really missing it? Listen to this. This is heavy. Samuel was still ministering, but without revelation for the next dimension of his life. I'm going to say that again so you'll understand. Samuel was still ministering, but he was ministering without revelation for the next level of his life. What do you mean, Pastor? You know the story. God is going to eventually speak to Samuel and tell him what's coming, and Samuel's going to become, in the history of Israel, two of the greatest people to ever have influence. The first one was Moses. You know who the second one is? Samuel. He is ministering in the temple, but without revelation of what he's about to become. People don't understand. What if Samuel would have said, man, I'm tired. Just stick with me. It's amazing that when Samuel got up each time, he thought it was Eli. So you mean to tell me this little boy was so in tune, so in love with his mentor that he would allow him to break his sleep repeatedly and still run in there with the eagerness to serve him? Yet, some of us, if we're asked to do anything that look like it's not convenient for us. So if you can't hear when your leader, and I ain't saying this because of me, God knows I'm not. If you can't hear when your leader calls you, how in the world you expect to hear when God calls you? And you wonder why folks can't hear from God? Everybody thinks they don't need a leader. See, as bad as Eli was, he's still the person God used for Samuel. Individuals are running around here. Well, you know, yeah, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. But you nothing because you can't hear. You can't hear. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I mean it in the truthful way. So look at this. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. See, voice recognition is key to your development. Verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. It took Eli three times before he understood that God was bypassing him. Listen to me. It took Eli three times before he understood that God was bypassing him. What do you mean bypassing him? Eli was the priest. Notice God called Samuel, not Eli. This was not a mistake. It wasn't God ain't sure what number he dialing. He was bypassing Eli. And it still took Eli three times before he realized I'm being bypassed. What am I saying? Whenever there's bad leadership, you don't have to worry about removing it. God will deal with it. People today are walking around, well, you know, I can't trust this man. I can't trust this woman. And the Bible said, don't put your trust in no man.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But you act like you can't serve that person. Because they may try to take advantage of you. They may try. You know what? Bad leadership, it ain't even your department. You don't even have to worry about it. Because when there's bad leadership that's representing God, he will remove it. This is, watch the, this, you're looking at the final chapters of Eli's life. God is winding it up right here. He is showing you, watch this. I don't know if you caught this, But nothing is ever written in scripture by accident. The Bible says Eli was nearly blind, and the lamp in the temple is going out. The dimness of his eyes represents revelation. His revelation is fading. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord. So now God is saying, okay, looking at what's closing out and what's coming in. He was closing out the ministry of Eli right there. That's why there's no successor that Eli can identify. Sure, Samuel is good. Samuel's doing, but you know what? Eli didn't even catch it. He couldn't see it. Revelation. The lamp was going out. Don't you know that the lamp is going out for some people? The lamp is going out. Their eyes are dim now. Well, verse 9. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now Samuel has gotten up three times trying to figure out what's going on. Let me share something with you. God's voice may sound like your leader's voice. Now, I know you may struggle with that. Well, let me show you. Most of us that left home, we remember now what our mama and our daddy said. We still hear their voice. Work with me now. You can hear their voice. Girl, don't you do that. Do this over here. You get in certain situations and you hear that voice. They not here. They could be gone, be on with the Lord. And you still hear their voice. Why? Because now the voice sounded like your leader or your parent who had authority over you. Just trying to work with the book. Now let me show you something. This is where I believe that we've had some struggles as the people of God. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee. So now Eli is saying, wait a minute. Now, twice this is don't happen. This is the third time. He says, wait a minute. Eli, somewhere along the line between his second time and this third time, he sees this incident different now. And for the first time you see Eli, watch this. Hear me, saints. Don't look. Don't check out on me. You're going to need this. I promise you, you're going to need this. For the first time, Eli now gives instruction on how to hear. Look at the scriptures. Every other time, go back and lay down. I ain't call you. Go lay down. I ain't call you. Go lay down. Now here comes instruction on how to hear. My question to you is, who's teaching all of these people how to hear? That supposedly are hearing from God. Who's teaching them how to hear? See, if the truth be told, you know, when you first got saved, you had to learn. So who's teaching all of these people? Because if you learned it from the wrong one, see, if your voice recognition system was set up by the wrong one, it can explain why a lot of things are happening in your life the way they are. People think, well, I'm saved. I'm not saying you're not saved. Do you know how to hear, though? See, you can be saved and live a defeated life because you can't hear from God. You could be saved, and when the catastrophes or the crises come in life, you go right along with the catastrophes and the crises, because with your saved self, you just defeat it. Because you're allowing false prophets to lead you into a battle that's going to kill you. Eli told him, he says, if he call you, this is what you need to say. And I'm being totally honest. I think back about my late bishop teaching us how to hear and recognize the voice of God. And I think about people today, they don't even talk about hearing from God. He used to say, the person that can hear from God, their net worth would automatically be increased. Just because you could hear when everybody else came. I have seen that. I have seen value in my life increase exponentially when crisis broke out and people needed to hear from God. No, I mean, when they, okay, no. When they come to you and they say, well, what you going to do? Because they don't know what to do, but they know. Yeah, your name might have been mud all of them other times, but right now it's a crisis, and I don't care what else is going on. I just need to know what you going to do. Because whatever you're doing, that's what I'm doing. But now, as soon as the crisis is over, don't you expect them to stay there with you now? But see, your value right then has increased exponentially. Now, Samuel has the same mindset that he's had before. He's coming to see what he can do. Eli speaks to him and say, this is what I need you to say. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. The word heareth has the implication of obedience. In other words, Samuel was prepared to obey what he was about to hear. I don't believe God. Well, why act like we want to hear when we're not ready to obey what we hear? Notice what it, see, Samuel, each time he ran into Eli's room, he is ready to do whatever Eli needs. He knows his mentor can barely see. He is accustomed to ministering to him. So now Eli says, listen, I need you to take the same mindset. And when God speaks to you, say, speak, thy servant heareth. I'm ready to obey what you say. It wasn't just about hearing an audible voice. It was about obeying the audible voice. He let him prep your heart now. Prep your heart that what you're about to hear, you're going to obey and adhere to it. So look, Eli's teaching him how to recognize the voice of God. You don't just haphazardly hear God speaking. We got folks who act like God was in their room last night and they talk all night. And your life ain't no different. They act like them and God are best friends. But yet there's no change. I'm talking about voice recognition. Look at verse 10. And the Lord came and stood. Do you know God physically stood in the room? He's there. I mean, you can work it like however you want to work it. I'm just telling you what the text says. He came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. I believe one of the first things necessary in recognizing the voice of God is a readiness to obey him. Are you ready to really obey God? Not when it's convenient. Not when you, oh, well, you know, I need to do this. You know, sometimes we say we're so tired at night when God want to speak to us. You know, my question is, what was you doing the day before that you shouldn't have been doing? Because God, why is God, the Bible says it's vain to stay up late and rise up early. Do you realize that there are some things that are designed? Now, wait till we get into to recognizing the voice of God. You're going to begin to understand that some of the things that you got to do to recognize the voice of God, you're going to understand why some people can't recognize it. And you know the number one thing is laziness. It is spiritual laziness, period. Number one thing. I mean, we could dress it up and call it other little things or what, but it, because it takes some effort. You got to train yourself. Listen, when we were first created, the Bible says we were created in the image of God. He created them male and female. Watch this. When God created us, he created a spiritual being. You created in his image. God is not flesh. So in his image, you had to be spirit. He created you a spirit. Well, Pastor, I don't understand that. I think that's Genesis 1 and 26. Well, you don't get a body until Genesis chapter 2. So what am I saying? When God speaks to you, he's going to speak to your spirit. If you have not trained your spirit to hear, people are walking around here, oh, I got goosebumps. Why? God ain't showing up in goosebumps. He's speaking to your spirit. I could go jump in the pool and it'd be cold and get goosebumps and God ain't said a word. You could walk outside without no shirt and it's going to get cold and you're going to have goosebumps and God ain't talking. If anything, he's saying get back in and get a coat on. See, but we've made it so, did you feel that breeze that came? See, we get it caught up in all, wait, hold on. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. Stick with me, y'all. I'm going to close this up. Stick with me. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. You with me? Okay, yeah. I was like, yours look different. Okay, now. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. When you do not recognize the voice of God, you could be tempted to look for God in things. Listen to me. When you do not know the voice of God, you can be tempted to look for God in things. It could have been enough with the wind. It could have been enough with the earthquake. It could have been enough with the fire. Well, did you see how that fire shook like that? That must have been God. And what we do is make constructs. And it's not God. And you wonder why you end up in a place of destruction. People have married the wrong people. People have given ministry that they should have never had a part in. People have done stupid things and they said it was God. I don't know if you looked at the news. There's a woman right now in Baton Rouge, 32-year-old woman, took her 8-year-old son and tried to cut his throat with a serrated knife. And you know what she said? The whole reason Jesus told me to. No voice recognition. None whatsoever. Now, what's that baby going to grow up like? What kind of view of God will that child have if the Lord doesn't intervene? Look at verse 13 of 1 Kings 19. And it was so when Elijah heard it. Heard what? The voice. the still small voice. When he heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here? When you know his voice, you're not concerned by what you see. I ain't concerned about the earthquake. I ain't concerned about the wind. I ain't concerned about the fire. I just need the voice. I need his voice. Do you notice when you look at the scripture, Elijah, he doesn't move when the wind is blowing. He don't move when the earthquake takes place. He don't move when the fire takes place. But soon as he hear the voice, oh, let me put my mantle on and go on out here. That's him. That's him. Do you know that's what God wants for each one of us? That's what he wants for each one of us. We're not moved by all of that other stuff. We become spiritually mature enough that we know his voice. We're in tune with his voice. That's him. Let me go now. Let me put on my stuff. That's him. He's calling me. Time to show up now. I don't care if everybody else is running from the earthquake. I don't care if everybody else is talking about the wind and how bad it's blowing. If everybody else is consumed with the fire, are you still waiting on the voice? I'm going to close out once again with verse 10 of 1 Samuel. The Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. I am finished. But this is what I want to do today. I believe God is preparing us to hear him. I mean to hear him for real. I'm not talking about any junk. I'm not talking about a whole bunch of hoopla. I mean to hear the voice of God. I want, glory to God. I want us to be a little open today. We're open a little different than normal. Listen, I need for just a moment. Ladies, if you have small children, I want, and don't feel this is not, I just want them to, for a moment, to be able to be quiet, because this is what I'm saying. I'm going to minister to you as well. I remember my wife told me something one time. God spoke to her while she was doing the dishes. Sometimes we think that there's a posture or something that we have to have before God can speak. But I know that some of you all as mothers, when you hear a child, your motherly instinct clicks in because you're thinking the matriarch that you are, the mother that you are, is the preservation of the child. Well, for a moment, I want to make sure that nobody's distracted. And now for those of you all that are mothers and you may have children that this a little bit disruptive, I believe God's, and I was talking with him about this already, so I'm just letting you in on our conversation. I believe he's going to minister to you as well. But I don't want it to be a disturbance for those that he's ministering to here. So if you need to and you need to step out, don't feel bad. That's my whole point. God's still going to minister to you. You're not going to miss out on what God is doing. I promise you, he's still going to minister to you. But don't feel bad if you have to step out. I'm asking God to speak to us. But before he speaks, this is what I need you to do. I need you to be prepared to obey what he says. No. Not, thank you, Holy Spirit. Not like you're thinking obey. You're thinking God says do something and you do that. No. I'm talking about a total life giving up to obey. See, when Samuel was in the temple, he had been given unto the Lord. The Bible says Hannah loaned him unto the Lord. So when Samuel is there, Mind you, he doesn't know what God is about to say to him. But his mentor teaches him that when God speaks to you, listen, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Number one, I'm only a servant, and I'm here to obey whatever it is you say. We have adopted, I believe, in America, an attitude that God says something to us and we perform a step. In other words, he tells you or he shares with you something and we perform part of what we've heard, and then it's almost like the other part is open to us being selective to whether we want to perform it or not. What I am sharing with you now is I believe God's going to begin to talk with some of you all about literally your development, what he wants. And I know that this is big, what he wants out of your life. And I, Holy Spirit, thank you. Some people are scared when they hear this because they think of how much stuff they have been through up to now, and they think it's about to be difficult, and it's a fear of hearing now. Or I'm going to deal with all of it before we finish. Because when we say, speak, Lord, your servant here, today we're going to mean it. Because if you can't speak it, don't say it. But if we can ever get to the point where we really want to hear what God wants to say, and we really open up ourselves and are completely submissive. God, whatever you want, however you want to do this, I am completely sold out to what you say. Then the floodgate that's going to come into your spirit is going to be absolutely mind-boggling. But we've got to get to the place that we stop trying to hear segments. God wants me to go to the left. God wants me to stop over here. No, what about your life? What about the fact that he really wants all of you? Not a little plump promise or a little obligation that you feel like you can meet under this circumstance or under that circumstance, but an absolute sellout. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Now, I want to take a moment, Craig, while you're playing. Whatever you need to clear out in your life to really be to that point, to really get back to the point, boy, I see some of you all, I see before we finish, I see some of you all weeping because of the power of the Holy Spirit coming on you, beginning to bear witness with some things in your spirit. Whatever you need to get out of the way first to really be able to say, okay, Lord, you know, I have been afraid. I have been afraid that I was going to have to go through this and that it was going to take me. And God, I was scared to deal with this again because I didn't want to go through that. I didn't want to lose that again. I didn't want, and it prevented me from being open enough to really say, Lord, speak, because I'm your servant and I hear it. Because God, I didn't want to feel that way again. I didn't like that. For those of you all who are just simply saying, well, you know, I kind of really didn't know what this was going to entail. Just wanted to be saved. I wanted to live the easy route. See, some of us do enough to get by. But with God, it's not enough. Because your enough to get by means you have room to compromise. With God, it's all or nothing. See, if you really want to develop voice recognition, he needs all of you. And that's why I said the number one problem is laziness, because people are not willing to pay the price. I'm not telling you that you got to fast all the time. I'm not telling you that you got to read your Bible all the time. I'm telling you, you got to be open all the time. I'm telling you, you got to be sold out all the time. I can't give you a formula. I'm just saying you got to give yourself to God. Holy. Holy, unreservedly to him. What if God speak to you and say, no Xbox today? Is it a struggle for you to stick with the Xbox and not him? See, holy. What if God speaks to you and the thing that, you know, he says, listen, today I want you to turn over your plate. Not that you got to fast all the time, but are you open to him wholly when he requires something of you? When he speaks to you in the night and says, I need you to rise up because I want you to pray. Well, no, Lord, my time with you is from such and such time. It's not at this time. I'm going to just, see, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Can he get you holy? And young people, I'm telling you, if you could learn to do this, Samuel was a young man when this happened to him. And it changed his life forever. If there could be young people who would understand that right now, Lord, I'm saying, speak to me. I am your servant and I'm hearing what you say. Their lives would never be the same. And God wants to speak to you just like that. Listen, I hope you've taken this time to examine yourself. Some of you, you know that there's things you've done, there's lifestyles that you're living that are contrary to you being able to say, speak, Lord, your servant heareth. You know you can't say it, not before a holy God. You can't say it. But God wants to know, when are you ready to say it? What do you mean? If you would prepare your heart to be able to say it, how? Repent. God, I'm sorry. I know I'm living wrong. I know I'm doing this wrong. I know that's me. I am absolutely doing my own thing. It's contrary to you. I know you've been dealing with me, Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. I can't. Listen, some of us, we have appetites that are seemingly uncontrollable. But if you'll submit them, if you'll submit it to God, be honest with him. God, I'm doing this and I like doing it. I need you to help me. What are you going to do? Shock him? He already know. One of the things you're going to have to do to have voice recognition is be honest. It's to be honest. Because God is about to change your life if you'll be honest. This is a day of expectation. And he is about to exceed your expectations. Today, I don't want anybody to stand up. I want you to stay seated. God called Samuel in the midst of him laying down asleep. I want you to know it's not about your posture, that you have to be in the prayer position. It's about the posture of your heart. As you're sitting there today, hopefully you've examined your own life. You've looked at the things that you've been in, you've been a part of, the things that you're dealing with. Maybe something that the Holy Spirit may have revealed that you need to repent of, you need to get away from. This is your time right now to clear that up. God, I thank you. Holy Spirit, oh my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Glory, 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 glory. This is your time. This is it. Because our next level from here is about to be completely different. Because now we're going to begin to recognize his voice. Holy Spirit, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you.